Blog Talk Radio.
In company, and of course I have my favorite hosts on tonight, and thank you to anybody that's hanging out in the group. It's going to be a fantastic evening of poetry. We have front page picks and open poetry, and it's just a variety of everything. It's like being in a buffet and all those delicious things out there to eat. So let me tell you a little bit about we hail from late night poets. And we have many radio shows and Monday all the evenings, and we have after midnight shows, and these shows are all supported by poetry. And we want to thank all the poets who donated their poems to help pay for these two radio shows that run all week with excellent contests and just a variety of different hosts and subjects. So please check us out. You can find us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join, and you can pick up our books on Amazon. They're thick and they're beautiful, and just like the name of the group, Late Night Poets as Late Night and Poet Anthologies, and various books being released from the different various shows. So please go and check us out on Amazon. So let me go ahead and start picking everybody up. And the first caller is my sweetie that hails from Scotland, Miss Katie. Yay, Weaver Dreams.
Hi. Hello, my dear. Watch your voice if you're going to lose it.
I know. We've had winds for 3 days in a row, 40 to 45 miles per clocking, 45. I mean, you get sandblasted over here. Oh, my allergies are killing me. I don't know if you could hear. I had to mute myself because I started sneezing while the song was playing.
Oh, no.
Now
you're allergic.
I hope you didn't hear it.
No, we didn't.
You're all right. Okay. And hailing from the other side of the United States, from Canada, is our very own Native American, Gray Smith. Woo, Gray!
Hello, Louise.
Hi, Gray.
And we have
happy
a caller. Happy to have you. We have a caller, 703. Who am I speaking with?
This is your beloved Miriam.
Hi, Miriam. Welcome to the show. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm doing pretty well. I can stay about 40 minutes, and I will try not to talk as much as I did on the last show.
No problema. That's the whole point, is for us to enjoy poetry. So you're here to talk. So don't you worry about that. And Francisco,
okay.
Well, he said salud. Oh, Francisco's asking what state you hail from, Miriam.
I'm from Virginia.
Virginia, there you go.
Yeah.
It's thousands of miles away from me. Isn't this fabulous? We can all connect on here. So this is what I love about poetry. So Katie knows. Laurent may be calling and have to hang up because he's not feeling too hot. And Miriam, I know you can stay 40 minutes, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's get started.
Let's get this party started. Okay. We have She's Gone by Jessica C. Wheeler. And I will start this one off. I don't know if it's a long one or not, but let's go for it. I really should start looking at things before I click on them. I'm terrible. Okay, so we have She's Gone. It's a big surprise to me that anybody's there. Jessica C. Wheeler, She's Gone. The worst thing is watching someone drown and not being able to convince them that they can save themselves by just standing up. Wow. Okay, so to the poem. She was in love with the snake, mourning its venom in her fleeting moments of sobriety. The needle's kiss like a lover's lost grey heavy on her clean mind until it didn't. I'm left to miss her call on cold nights for my promise of rescue when I cradled her, my ballerina, set within a jewellery box on my dresser where she'd spin and spin until her dance wove chaos. Questions, pile-like debts addicted in youth, her young mind altered by the killers in white coats, loading their prescription pads, pointing and shooting. The overcast eyes of a struggling addict cannot see through the clouds, nor can they hear the cries beyond the storm's thunder, blinded to the agony worn by the addict's loved one. My little sister drowned in poison, and I held her hand when I took her steady as when I taught her to swim. That pile of questions sharing her casket, both incomplete. End poem.
Thank you so much for that beautiful read of Jessica Wheeler's poem. This is deeply painful. I can't imagine. She has won a gold medal and a bronze medal on this poem. And I want to let her know that I'm really sorry that her sister passed away. And it's even harder, you know, sometimes, you know, you can just not just be addicted to just pills, but it can be prescription drugs.
So, you know, this can hit really hard because so many people are having to deal with addiction. And then that suffering that they go through, it's not only just them suffering. It's the way the family feels when they OD and hoping that they got to you in enough time to save your life. You know, this is, you know, just something deeply painful that so many people are having to deal with and families are having to deal with. And I'm sorry to see that this happened. This was, you know, beautifully penned tribute, you know, especially where she says that when you mourn, when she talks about the ballerina in the jewelry box, you know, she is forever enshrined in those memories at that age. And, you know, the family having to live asking what if they had lived. I'm so sorry, Jessica. What did you think about this poem, Gray?
Well, you know, it struck home to me because I've lost two brothers now to addiction and nearly myself. And so it really strikes a chord with me, the pain that, you know, is left when somebody goes to addiction. Very tragic. Well read. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. And Miriam, what did you think of Jessica's poem?
Hard to even pay attention to the poem because of the flood of feelings that come in just from the subject matter. You know, it is so destructive to individual lives and to families. But Jessica has said it very, very well. Very, very beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Her very unusual imagery and it's a heartbreaking subject, and it's
mm-hmm.
a very heartbreaking poem.
Agreed. Thank you, Miriam. And Miss Katie, you read this. I would like to know your thoughts on Jessica's poem.
I think heartbreaking is the only thing I can think. I've lost
mm-hmm.
family as well, so I totally understand. Lost both my young sisters, so it does affect the whole family, and the whole family suffer. And the only person that can make that difference is the person who doesn't want to, because it's a scary
mm-hmm.
thing to give up something that you hang on to like that makes each day worthwhile for you. And even though it's hurting and damaging you, it's there. It's like any addiction, you will have it no matter what. So it's great to be able to share something like this, but it's not something that you ever want to have to know about firsthand. So my heart goes out. It really is terrible. Such a shame. Anyway, thank you so
mm-hmm.
much for sharing that with us.
Thank you for a wonderful comment, everybody. And we're sorry, Jessica. We're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Right. and our next one is, it's Twin Flames by Eric Svensson. And this has a SoundCloud.
Mm.
If Gray, could you get that for us, please?
Sure. And Lou, you have another caller, just so you know.
Okay. My screen closed. Okay. Hold on. My computer shut, just logged off. I don't know why it did it. And of course it said log off on everybody else's show. Only on my show. Okay. Yeah, please.
I'll pick him up.
It's
Frank.
Okay. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Frank. Hello, hello, everyone. Hello, Duplicy.
Welcome, welcome.
It's always a pleasure.
Hi, Frank. Good to have you.
Hello there, Katie.
Hello, my
and
dear.
Of course, Francisco is from the great state of Texas.
I'm trying to be more calm boy by the time. I'm still thinking of Europe in my mind, but I'm still trying. I'm trying to be a cowboy by now. Perhaps I'll get that accent to it in the south.
Whip him up, boy. Whip him up.
All pleasure there, man.
He's our lone ranger.
Assuming that you're not that far away from me, Lou. I mean, so you should have more of a draw than I should.
Only.
Oh dear. Sorry.
Oh no. Yeah. No. Only when I go to the south, when I'm around my cousins, picking up their draw from wayside. Oh yeah. You know. Then I start talking like this, just like them.
Yeah,
wow.
I know what you're talking about, big. Talk like a southerner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so I'm going
to
push play on Eric's phone.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Twin flames compressed for a moment, compelled, held by your eyes, clear panes, cloud curtains thrown back, head over heels, sunbeams tumble in, parted lips bespeak wonderment, scented breeze concurs, senses genuflect, pan flash respite, honking horns crack the spell, yellow taxi cabs jostle, rose usurped by too many thorns, heading home, your glowing features remain. Fresco installed in memory museum. Passion polters, simmers. For a moment I ponder about the probability of twin flames meeting so briefly. Fleeting, flighty moment, so majestically mighty. End poem.
You know, I thought he really, Eric beautifully caught that vision in nature, you know, just the burning heat that one can have. He says in his AN, poems should be like pens which prick the skin of boredom and leave a glow equal to its pride, to the fate of the sadist who struck the pen and walked away. And I thought that he caught that in his last stanza. And I'm going to hang up and call back in because I've been logged out and I can't see the phones or mute myself. So, Katie, could you please direct the comments while I hope I don't hang everybody up. Okay,
if
my dear.
I'll call them back.
All right, I shall be back.
I will return. Okay, let us carry on, and we'll wait for all of you to come back. Frank, your comment, please.
Yes, as usual, his unplots are always impressive. I thought this poem had a great sense of vision. You know, it uses it uses a bit of the characterization of what is sensuality in this poem. And I was reading down at the bottom there that it was written for a particular contest there, but I found overall the piece was just had a great execution, great imagery throughout the poem. It had that sensuality that I found very flattering there, with particularly with the name of the title there, Twin Flames. Good job there, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
I was particularly struck by the phrase sunbeams tumble in. I don't believe I've ever heard that before, and sunbeams always tumble in. Sometimes they just shoot straight in, but sometimes they do have aspect, maybe broken up a little bit by shadows, that there can be a tumbling effect. So that's what I like best in this poem.
Thank you. Are you back, Luyu? No, not yet. Okay. Gray, your comment, my dear. Oh, you are back.
I am back, but I don't know who comments, so just keep going.
Okay, my dear.
And I'll just hang out with you.
Okay, cool. With the bad guys. Okay, Gray, your comment, my dear.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed his reading voice. He has such a fantastic reading voice. But, you know, I enjoyed head over heels, sunbeams tumble in, parted lips bespeak wonderment, scented breeze concurs, sentence genuflect. To me, that was beautiful. The whole thing is beautiful throughout, but that part in particular really shone to me. So excellent, right? And fantastic reader. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Gray. That was lovely. I think everybody, apart from Luyu, would you care to make a comment? Did you not hear it?
Yes. I did comment at the beginning, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody commented, thank you.
Yes,
then let's go ahead and put our next front page pick in.
We will do that very thing. Now we all have. Just give me a moment. This person is elusive, leaping about all over the place, not staying where she should be. Okay, this is, I'm joking by the way, because it's not. This is Fishing for Stars by our very own Miriam. And would you care to give us a read of this, please, Miriam?
Sure. This is Fishing for Stars. The languid sun descended towards the west. Where else would you expect the sun to set? His wispy golden hair embraced the clouds, catching them like gold wool in a net. Then indigo and carmine drowned the sun, pulling him below the fractal trees. And jet night followed, trailing golden stars. Wandering goldfish danced in dreaming seas.
Miriam, I thought that you beautifully captured that imagery in this watercolor by, it says, the title Fishing for Stars is taken from a watercolor by my grandfather, F.C. Frisicky. And I really thought that you just like the soft waves of water. But what I loved was, you know, in your last stanza, where you talked about, and jet night followed, trailing golden stars, wandering goldfish dance in dreaming seas. And I thought you caught that so beautifully, the reflection of stars, and then using the imagery as a little goldfish moving around in the waves of the seawater and a golden moonlight. And I thought this was just congratulations on your front page pick. And thank you for, you know, reading such a gorgeous, gorgeous brevity. I enjoyed it very, very much. And congratulations also on a silver medal.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Miss Katie, what did you love about Miriam's poem?
Well, let me just say everything. I thought it was just so... first of all, you use my favorite word apart from ethereal, which is languid. Love it. Languishing, languidly. I could use it all the time. I love it. But this is just beautiful. And also a little bit of humor, which is, it's a little joy to me to see that. And his wispy golden hair embraced the cloud, catching him like gold wool in a net. Again, another beautiful image. And you obviously cared a lot for him. It's very nice. And the watercolor is beautiful too. No wonder you have to write to it. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Miriam. It was a delight.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Gray, I would like to know your thoughts on Miriam's poem.
Well, you did a wonderful job of reading your poem, Miriam. But I like the poem. You know, it has a childlike imagination to it where you know, his wispy hair, golden hair embraced the clouds, catching them like gold wool in a net. Then indigo and carmine grounded the sun, pulling him toward below the fractal trees. I mean, that just has fantastic imagery. I really enjoyed the whole poem. I thought you captured the prompt quite beautifully.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. And Francisco, what did you think of Marian's beautiful brevity?
Yes, I've always said that poems inspired by portraits and paintings or pictures are the most wonderful, wonderful type of poetry, because you capture the essence of the imagery completely. You did a fantastic job here. You know, everything that's been mentioned in this brevity, I'm not going to get into because it's been said, but I do appreciate the fact that you were able to be inspired by this portrait here. You did a magnificent job.
Thank you, Francisco. And I'd like to welcome to the show our very own Barry White, Laurent. Hi, Laurent.
Hey, good evening, Louie. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing. How about yourself?
All right. As good as I can get, I guess.
As good as you can get. Well, you do you need to read and leave, Laurent?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, you know, just let us know, okay? Did you get to hear Miriam's beautiful brevity?
No, I just jumped on.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
Catch you next time. And Miriam, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Yes, I'd like to say this is one. I wrote this poem for a contest by Chris Edom. He was celebrating a milestone in his poetic career on All Poetry, and it was about gold. And it was only after I got to the bottom of it that I thought of this painting by my grandfather, and I said, hey, wait a minute. people have been calling it an fantastic poem, and it really wasn't, but maybe it, subconsciously it was, because, you know, I admit the it really fits. So it was a delight. The whole thing was a delight.
Thank you. And congratulations again from Paige Pick and Silver. Congratulations, Miriam. Okay, we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Okie dokie. I do love being popular.
Well, there you go. That's a way to call it right there.
Yeah, dear. I just have to say that. It was a bit of fun. You know it was. Okay, this is a call to arms by Ben Hart. And Frank, would you read this for us, please?
No, this is a poem by Ben Hart. It's called A Call to Arms. Soldiers, it is your duty to the man who commands you, or to the mothers whose tears spelled your names on their cheeks. It is your duty to die for a road further into the divide rather than the bridge man should have built, or your lives were less than the morose machines tomorrow you lay them down for, or your lives were more than the man defending his front door against phantoms of a fallen freedom, or you still welcome in the garden of thought God has watched bloom since birth if you dread seeing the enemy again in heaven. Or are you glad to be of service, prisoner to the battlefields that know not of victory or defeat, nor the names buried in its craters? Soldiers, will you sleep as they lie through the chief singing lullabies of liberty? Or will you fight once more not to die over differences, but to guide humanity out of the shadow of evil, out of the unliving eye, and back to the dream that were created equal? In the poem.
Well, you really did an emotive read of Ben Hart's poem, you know, where he talks about death and humanity and hope and peace. And, you know, we are all created equal, but unfortunately, many human beings' thoughts are not of that nature, which causes so many issues in society with, you know, having to deal with death and, you know, the family suffering and, you know, many of them going out to defend their country. This is just deeply, deeply sad. And for some reason, the phone lines are dropping. So if for whatever reason you've been dropped, please call back. And I would like to get your thoughts on this poem, Miss Katie.
That was beautifully read, Frank. Thank you so much. Yes, you know how I feel about this kind of thing. You know how I feel about war and the loss of wonderful people who should not ever have had to go through what they went through. This world is a sad place, and even sadder because there are people missing, people who should not have been ended as they were. A complete waste of... anyway, I just don't think this need for power should be allowed to continue because it's hurting people so much. So that's my call to arms. Let's stop the horrors. Stop the hurt. Yay! Get behind me.
Well, there you go. A couple of wrongs.
I wish there could just be peace. I agree, Katie. Thank you so much. And Gray Eyes, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's a bit of a shorter piece for Ben, but it says so much in it. You know, it questions the soldier and his motives and his mission, which is, you know, definitely commendable. I thought it was a talented write, and he did a great reprint.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you. And our next poet to comment is Laurent. What did you think of Ben's poem?
First of all, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure that I was still on mute or not. You think I dropped so quickly? It amazed me. This song called Arms. It's called Arms Asks a Lot of Questions. It requires the reader certainly to think. If you're a soldier, you probably don't want to think because you would then run away from the battlefield. You know, it's almost best to remain ignorant of anything else and simply obey the person who's directly above you. And if he calls upon you to run across the field where bullets are flying, there's not much you can do except do that. That's why we send the young soldiers, not 50-year-olds, who damn well know better and wouldn't do that regardless. So it asks the reader to think, and the reader does think, and we can comment. We can decide what is potentially honorable, not honorable, victory, defeat, why we fight, etc. But soldiers, when you sleep, as they lie through their teeth singing lullabies of liberty, yes, you have to sleep. You really do. And then you will have to fight. Maybe hopefully you don't sleep forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very moving poem. And all devolving right down to that last line, that we're created equal. We are in some far-off universe, but we don't treat ourselves as if we are equal. Excellent.
Agreed.
Outstanding piece, as usual.
An excellent comment, Laurent. Thank you so much. And Francisco, you did a wonderful read of Ben Hart's poem. I'd like to know your thoughts.
Yes, I'm going to echo The Scent of a Tear by Laurent. This was just a fantastic poem that had many questions in this poem. You know, Ben usually just writes profound pieces, and I thought this is no exception to that rule. I just thought the poem overall was just so, there was just that conviction seen in the poem itself that made me just felt as if he was a soldier who was asking. And I thought he did a very convincing job in that aspect. Great poem.
Thank you. Thank you, Francisco. Excellent comment and
welcome.
Excellent read. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next front page pick.
Right, okay. Our next one is Taking a Beating by Laurent Yvonne. Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
I'll be happy to. Taking a beating. Thought I was loaded for bear, but I was barely loaded. Leastways, not enough to avoid Betty. Wanted to rustle around in the shrubbery like a pair of rutting moose. meats. Okay, a pair of conjoined geese sticking off from a pond, flapping hard for altitude, not clearing the top of the pines. We came a crashing down to earth, scratched and breathing hard, pine needles in my butt. Betty is tender and likes to ride, so I'm in the loam, taking a beating. End poem.
Laurent. You know what? You got a wicked sense of humor, and I really enjoy it. You know, the things that you do when you've been drinking too much and you're out in the wilderness. I hope that those pine needles didn't poke you too much, Laurent. Having laid in pine needles, you know, that is an uncomfortable sensation, but you're not thinking about that. I just love your poetry. You did such a great job in this. This is actually quite brilliant, telling us who the wild animals are really out in those pine needles and trees. I love this, right, Laurent? Thank you. Excellent read. I have missed you.
Yes, I have.
Miss Katie, have you had any pine needle adventures?
I would love to tell you. I would love to tell you, but you're too young. You would be shocked, so I won't.
Do indulge yourself there, Katie.
I'm talking from the age that I am, down to you youngsters. No, I haven't actually, thank goodness. Laurent, that sounds awful, man. That just sounds terrible. Avoid the bushes, avoid the Betty, and avoid the pain. Well done. Thank you so much for that smile, Eileen. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm still smiling. Yes, indeed. I hope it wasn't too much of a painful experience. And Gray Eyes, I know you're the king of pine needles up there in Canada.
Yeah, I never had them in my butt, though, so I have to say that. But now what a romp in the wilderness, my friend. You know, you really capture the humor of, this mating rut that is taking place here. So excellent read and a fantastic write.
Thank you, Gray. And Francisco, I would like to know your thoughts on pine needle adventures.
Well, first of all, I'll never look at conjoined geese again. it does make me think. I'll have to go to the pond on that one, man. But overall, Laurent did a fantastic job. It is what I appreciate more is what you said as well, his humor. He can write any piece, you know, regardless of the nature, touch, humor to it, and make it an excellent piece. And I can't even get into the realm of humor that he gets into. He has it's a natural flair, and I think he exceeds tremendously in this type of poetry. Not to take away from his other type of poetry, but he always seems to bring humor into his pieces, and he does it wonderfully. Great job.
Yes, he does. And Laurent, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Yeah, ultimately Betty wasn't worth it.
So oh, burn!
Well, in a manner of speaking, I mean, she was and she wasn't. Betty was a thing of the moment, so to speak.
At least you plucked the feathers there.
Oh, I've been a feather plucker for a long time.
Oh, there you go. Oh, he's a trooper. Oh, he's a good trooper.
Oh, my gosh. Bye, Laurent. Yes. Yeah. Okay, Miss Katie, and I can. My cheeks are hurting so much from smiling. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Ready, thank you, Laurent. Ready. Oh, thank you, Laurent. Right, this is, we've got "Come Walk With Me" by C.L. Howard. And Gray, I wonder if you would give this a read for us, please.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure.
Thanks.
So "Come Walk With Me" by C.L. Howard. Wake up, my love. The sun has risen. Outside, the air is soft and warm. Night has left her dew behind. Her chill surrendered to dawn's reform. Our walls around our garden held deer and rabbits far away. And since the birthing of Aurora, I've just one wish to say. Come walk with me, my precious treasure, among the corn and squash and bean. The sisters three may be tomorrow, but for now, all I want to leave is your tender hand, soft in my hand. Your laughter at our cats at play, sideways glances, a gentle squeezing, soft lips, my very own, okay. Come walk with me in fields of barley, feel the freshly ripened head, run and laugh, forget tomorrow, our garden stroll, our daily bread, pluck the purple ripe tomato. I brought the knife and salt to taste, the bitter and sweet together, a lovely gift of garden's grace. Come walk with me, my forever lover. See the wonders that we grow, from seed to stem, fruit from flower, every carrot in its row. Plunge your hands deep within her, that darkened earth where life is born. Pluck potatoes, both sweet and tender, we'll cook them fresh with barley corn. Come walk with me to feed our hens, love. Perhaps there'll be an egg or two. We'll eat them with some toast and butter. 2 cups of coffee with cream will do. Sit with me at our table. Let my eyes, your eyes, unfold. See the man who will always love you, who will walk with you till time grows old. End poem.
Oh my goodness, this is a beautiful, romantic poem of life and its simplicity, you know, with the ups and the downs, but the simple beauty of loving somebody. He not only did get a front page pick, but he got 2 gold medals, 1 silver, and 3 HMs. Congratulations, CL. You know, these lines are just something that burn in your memories, you know, the things that you remember. And I really especially liked, I mean, I liked each stanza, but I liked this, you know, because, you know, my uncle had a farm and I got to work on it. And then it says, come walk with me to feed our hens, love. Perhaps there'll be an egg or two. We'll eat them with some toast and butter. Coffee with cream will do. Sit with me at our table. Let my eyes, your eyes, unfold. See the man who will always love you. Who will walk with you till time grows old. Oh my goodness, this, just that simple life and just spending and working with the person that you love the most. This is a beautiful tribute to his wife. This is just absolutely gorgeous. What did you think, Katie? And Gray, you did a gorgeous job in reading it.
Yes, I agree, Gray. You did, definitely. Oh, this is just a beautiful. I'm not surprised it won what it won, because it is gorgeous. It's just a, what a tribute, really. I love the, always love first and last stanzas, but I particularly liked our walls around our garden held the deer and rabbits far away. And since the birthing of Aurora, I've just one wish I wish to say. Come walk with me, my precious treasure. That's just beautiful. And so much heart and love and thought went into this. So well done, and thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful comment, Miss Katie. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Yeah, now the poem was very, very heartfelt, very much romantic. It's just the essence of the rite was just very emotive, you know, from the beginning to the end. The stress one, come walk with me, was very, very much the center point for me of the emphasis of this poem here. The memories and the tribute here to his beloved were very palpable throughout the lines here. So he did a very fantastic job in writing this poem.
Thank you. I'm sorry for my coughing.
Oh, no, did I make you laugh there? Did I make you cough there?
Yeah. And Laurent, you're next to comment. Beautiful comment, Francisco.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this the first time that I read it. And at that time, I told Ben, or, I'm sorry, I told CL, come on, computer. I told CL that I thought that this poem, or in his poem, he wove with consummate skill a loving and tender moment. Caretakers of the garden and harvesters of the earth who walk among the fruits of their labor, enjoying nature's bounty. And while never mentioned, I think it is highly spiritual. Outstanding piece.
Thank you, Laurent. And you did a beautiful job in reading it, Gray Eyes. I'd like to know your opinion.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a touching and heartfelt rite. With excellent imagery. It was simplistic and endearing throughout, so excellent job.
Great. Thank you so much, and congratulations, CL. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay. We have Dress Me. Dress Me Love by Darkened Horus. I missed out the love. Trust me, they missed out the love. Okay, and I will give this one a read. Yes. Dress me, love. Dress me in a thin white gown. I'm your virgin sacrifice. Your animal-lusting thrusts add sugar to my spice. Dress me in long red satin, the most exquisite ever seen. Now bow down and worship me, for tonight I am your queen. Dress me in some skimpy lace. I'll be your nurse tonight. I know you're a nymphomaniac, and I can go all night. That's right. Tonight I dressed in skin-tight leather, whips and handcuffs, just for you. I'm a submissive little sex kitten. I'll do whatever you tell me to. Undress for you? Yes, master. Is this what you wish to see? A loving kiss embraced my lips. Tonight, you just want me. End poem.
Oh. You know, and that is the catch line, as that last sentence that Katie just read, that Dorkin Arias wrote. She said in her author's notes, I'm not sure if this fits falling in love, but what I was going for is a couple who role plays a lot, and tonight he doesn't want a virgin, a queen, a nurse, or a submissive sex partner. He just wants the woman he fell in love with. You know, and, you know, playing, role-playing is, you know, fine, but, you know, it's when somebody just wants you for yourself, for the person that they fell in love with. And I thought she did this wonderfully, especially in her author's notes when she explains it, and especially in that last line, undressed for you. Yes, master. Is this what you wish to see? In loving kiss, embrace my lips tonight. You just want me. And, you know, that I really liked that last line, and I enjoyed it very much. What did you think about the poem, Miss Katie? And you did a wonderful job of reading it.
Thank you. It was a delight to read. I do enjoy that kind of poetry, and I enjoyed it. It was, you know, there was no having to guess what we were listening to. I mean, it was very obvious, but it was done in a way that I appreciate. It's the little hints. It's the little glimpses behind the lace. It's the little, now I'm wearing this and her about this. I liked all that. I thought it was so well done. And it painted the total picture of what that partnership was. And you say that last stanza, just, you know, that was just lovely. You must come to a point where you think, hello, is there anything still between the us that we are, as opposed to the us dressed up and pretending? And obviously he wanted to make sure there was still something. So I thought it was just beautifully done. Well done.
Agreed. Great point, Katie. And Gray Eyes, I'd like to know your thoughts on Dark and Arya's poem.
Well, I thought it was sensual, sexy. You can feel the passion burning brightly in the right and the connection that she has with this person. So I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Gray. And your thoughts, Francisco?
Yes, you know, the poem overall was had this wonderful, wonderful overture of what was role play between a couple here. Obviously, the poetry has a reflection to it, you know, in that last line, the last stanza there. And it's a beautiful thing if you can just embrace it, you know, and accept that the whole thing, what is from that person, should be the inner self as well. That should be accepted, not just the outer beauty. But as for the sex kitten there, let me ponder in there, Katie.
You like that purring, eh?
Yes, master, yes.
Just, oh, yes, master.
Just call me kitten.
Oh, there you go. Katie or kitty? There, what are those?
Whichever you like, my dear.
Oh my goodness. Okay, thank you, Francisco. And we're ready for our next book page pick.
Okay, we have Some Are More Equal Than Others by Gary Rubin. And there is a SoundCloud for this, if you would play that for us, please, Gray.
You betcha. 1 second.
Thank you so much.
Here we go.
Some Are More Equal Than Others by Gary Rubin. Lone wolf terrorists feed at the trough of crowded sporting events. Threat precautions implemented cowboy up at charity cycling events. Some are more equal than others. John Kerry and 7 Secret Service agents were given a 15-minute head start. 6,000 other cyclists waited, bucking broncos itching at the ready, awaiting a swinging gate release from the rodeo pin. City slicker riders pedaled expensive carbon fiber racing bicycles. And then there was me. My saddled up Palomino, a 35-year-old rusted steel Fuji Royale touring bike. Her orange handlebar bag stood out, less welcome than a micro miniskirt wearing saloon hooker at a Sunday morning church service. Buxom boob bag jammed with Gatorade, energy goo and electrolytes bursting to be unhooked. 1/4 way through the 111-mile ride, I rustled up to carry the G-men and their black sport utility vehicle sag wagon. As a prickly desert heat rattlesnake hissed, razor-sharp fang teeth were ready to strike. Carrie was a duck, tucked nested into a flying V. One jacked, muscle-bound agent peeled off. He herded me like a cattle dog, shepherding me away from the Secretary of State. These G-men worried I was that lone wolf, carrying explosives in my handlebar bag. But the Central Intelligence computer in old Virginia quickly verified my identity. My prairie dog escort stopped barking so he could listen into his earpiece for the verdict. This subject poses no threat. The smoke-tinted sag wagon's side window was lowered, but only after the pistol with scope crosshairs pointed at my skull was lowered. They pulled up next to me. A peace offering, an ice-cold water bottle, was extended out into the 100-degree heat. My own trigger finger pointed at the handlebar bag. I smirked at these rodeo clowns, extended them a hook 'em horns, rock on hand sign, letting them know this wasn't this cowboy's first rodeo either.
Oh,
I want to thank Gary for that audio. It was the first time I got to hear his voice, so I'm so excited. He has a fabulous voice for reading poetry. And I was just reading about this. You know, he says that this is a true story in his author's notes. This is Gary Rubin's author's notes. Although I can't verify exactly what went on in the smoke-tinted SUV, John Kerry was Obama's Secretary of State, and he was clearly a target for international terrorists at the time. The Pan Math Challenge is a two-day charity bike ride raising money for cancer research. There are many well-stocked rest areas along the route with food and beverages. That is why my own weighted handlebar bag was a curiosity. Literally nobody else had one. So, you know, and it's true. If there's any type of person from the president's offices, any of his officers around any area you're in, everybody is somebody that needs to be watched. And if you've got a bag, and especially if nobody else has one, they're definitely going to stop you and check you out. You know, he didn't sound like this had bothered him. I see that he said he's been around Secret Service before. And, you know, he did a great job of storytelling and letting us know what happened. This is just an excellent poem. What did you think, Miss Katie?
Sorry, I'm here. Katie? I'm here. I could not get off mute. I have no idea what happened. It ended up on the floor.
The Secret Service there.
Well, I did hear a rustling among the bushes, but it would appear I'm all right. We are mad. We are total. Yes, I liked it a lot. I love the fact that this is a story. I do love that. That is excellent. So you get so much more when you're not restricted to a certain format. This is what I love about this. It's just, I'll go for it and tell you all about this because you'll love it. And I did. I thought it was excellent. There must be so many stories out there that we never hear. And this is another one of those, which I'm so glad we did. And also the AN helped me a lot. That AN gave me a lot of insight. Thank you so much for that. Otherwise, I would be going, what? So, thank you.
I guess you don't have a lot of Secret Service and stuff like that up in your own. What do you have for Secret Service?
We have MI6 and MI5, and we have Bond. We have Bond. But they are very secretive. You don't get to hear what's happening. You know, you've got no idea what they're up to. I'd hate to think. I hope they're not listening to this. I'll be in trouble.
Well, reported you,
Yeah, for going over hedges. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well,
there
yep.
you go.
Great.
Taking the pine off the butt there.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, no, the rustling stopped. Oh, no. I'll be with you. I'm fighting.
And gray eyes. Yeah, that's okay. Gray eyes. What did you think?
Well, what a fantastic story. What a fantastic life event to have experienced, you know, to be pointed out by, you know, the Homeland Security or whoever it was, the chaperoning party in that smoke glass vehicle, you know, pointing a gun at you and then lowering it, you know, it was quite a hell of a story, really, experience, and I appreciate him sharing that, so. Excellent read as well on your SoundCloud, Gary. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. And Francisco, have you ever been stopped by the Secret Service?
Well, I've had a situation where back then, this is several years ago, this was in Spain, of course, where the future, well, at the time, was a prince who is now the king of Spain. I had an incident there where they were in a certain place at a venue. And I had no idea they were there, and I was with my ex at the time, and we happened to stumble on them, and they had to, so they had these type of, what do you call these Secret Service people, and instead of telling me or asking me or enforcing anything, they asked me if I needed a water bottle. That was one element. That was one of an experience. But I recall that experience, and you find yourself when you meet these type of people, I'll be brief, that they're really, you know, they're no more than what we are, ordinary people who are just entitled. That's a simple thing. As for the poem itself, it's an incredible experience. You know, I would never imagine this happened. When I read the poem, I thought it was something that was inspired by an event. Then I read the notes on the author notes, and it does reveal the truth there. A fantastic job, and it's an experience that not every day, it's an everyday common experience you would have. So you did a fantastic job.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And we're back to you, Miss Katie. Yeah. We are at the half hour.
Mm-hmm. We shall be moving on to our open poetry. Always an exciting event. We know not what cometh. Oh, I'm in full flow tonight.
That's true.
Somebody's working me from behind here. I meant I like a puppet. That's all I meant.
There you go. Got the strings there now, Katie.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to get them twisted. Don't you worry yourself about that. Okay.
Well, there you go.
What am I saying? I'm terrible. Okay. By the way, I meant to ask, because Miriam gone?
Yes, she dropped. And so did Laurent. They weren't feeling good, so that's okay.
Okay.
I'm happy they did call to read.
Yeah. I just wanted to check because I didn't want to ignore them if they were there. That would be terrible. Okay. Lou, do you fancy giving something a read or not? I can try.
I can try.
Okay. Your trying is better than most people's best, so don't worry about it.
Okay, who am I going to be reading?
You're going to be reading Jenny the Deep, yeah, and it's no longer your scratching post.
Okay. All right. Okay, just got it. No longer your scratching post by Jenny the Deep. Swallowing my angst and animosity builds back up at an increased velocity. Let you use me as a scratching post as I took the pain better than most. Treated me like a useless, filthy, feral cat. Well, I have finally had enough of that. Climbing out of your mind-filled mouth, I've become numb to your demeaning shouts. It is time for this wild cat to fight back. Never again will I let you attack. The world is my litter box cleansed of you. Finally removed like shit from the bottom of shoes. End poem.
Oh, shit.
And Katie, yeah, can you direct the comments since I read?
Yes, of course, no problem. Frank, your thoughts, please.
Well, it was a powerful read there, and the poem itself does reflect a powerful image from the beginning. You know, when you talk about useless feels the feral cat, and you're treated in this way, it can only just, you know, make you feel terrible, you know. But when you have that conviction that will, you know, fight back, that's the thing at the end that you really have to realize, that there's always going to be some positive thing even through the negativity. So I thought she did a fantastic job, and I know that it was on a prompt itself. I can't see the prompt, but I can imagine it through the words.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Frank. Excellent comment. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of Jenny's poem?
Two words, empowerment incarnate. It was fantastic. You know, when somebody's done you wrong and you finally say, no, that's not happening anymore. I'm kicking the shit from the bottom of my shoes, and you're going with it. So I thought it was powerful in your face and attitude built. So great poem, and you did a beautiful read, didn't you?
Thank you. And Miss Katie, what did you think of Jenny's poem? Miss Katie. You're on
She's
your
still
food.
Picking up the pies.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, that was a wonderful line or two. You missed it completely. I was being very entertaining, but I'll now be serious.
Well,
okay.
Nothing like a good repeat.
Oh, for sure. I'm always there for the repeat. Raise the curtain. Let's go. Oh, yeah, this was, as I was saying, this was full of angst and animosity. This had a lot of anger and pain in it, and it is useful. This is one of the things about this particular art that is so useful. You can get all that out of you onto a screen, and other people can read it, and then probably understand you better for it, if it's fact and not fiction. I hope it is fiction, of course, but very well done, very well written, and I can understand why you'd want to be removing the stuff from the bottom of your shoes. It would not be nice. So thank you so much for sharing that with me.
Well, can I say rather quickly something? You know that in Spain, it's good luck. It's good luck if you step on that.
Yeah.
On cat poop?
No, I meant on shit.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
No, that, you're payaso.
No, it's true. Look it up if you don't believe me. Look it up. Google. Yes, Google it. Google it.
So in Spain, if you step on crap, it's good luck?
Yes.
And what if you got on $500 leather shoes?
Well, you take it all.
No. I'll throw my shoes away.
It reminds me of some places where it's good luck to be shit on by a seagull.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's happened before to me. I don't think it's good. One other quick thing. Here, I've been here in time period. I've been shitted on by doves here, and I've landed on my head several times. Unbeknown to me.
Oh, maybe no. They think you're a beautiful bronze statue from Spain.
Maybe.
They did hit the mark several times.
You need to get a sombrero.
I do have one. I always cover my hair now.
Oh my goodness,
that's terrible, Frank. Did many people?
I'm telling you. I have never heard of that. I do not believe it.
After the show.
No.
I believe you, but
let me tell you, that is not good luck to me, okay? That means you're shit out of luck. You done ruined a good pair of shoes.
It depends the way it rubs, you know?
Not me. She says that she was right. She not only did she get a front page pick, but Jenny also got a gold medal. Congratulations. And she says that she was looking at a cat scratching post and a cat bed, and she went deep with it. And, you know, and this is, you know, what I like about this poem is how she used those images, and she used them as metaphors to connect it to life, how, you know, a cat is very self eventually, you know, even dogs, you cannot keep hurting them and kicking them without them, you know, responding back in some kind. And, you know, if you're in an abusive relationship, and I hope that she is not, I hope that's just what she was writing about, but she rhymed this wonderfully. It was deeply emotional. And anybody that's in an abusive relationship needs to learn to fight like a wild cat and protect themselves, because just like people kill cats, people kill humans. And especially if, you know, you're in a situation where you're being abused, because, you know, it's against the law to harm a cat and it's, you know, be abusive to animals. And it also is against the law to be abusive towards human beings. But they do it anyways. And I like this poem because she's just selling, I'm not going to be the poop on the bottom of your shoes anymore. Empower, and like Grace said, it's a deeply empowerment poem, you know, to speaking to get out of an abusive situation. I really enjoyed this by Jenny. Congratulations. And we're ready for our next front page pick. I mean, open poetry.
No, I'm not confused at all.
She's thinking about that there, Katie.
Oh, dear. I love it. It's so cool.
This is a good night. There's one thing, purring is vastly different than anything else.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm lost. Okay. I'm lost in the secret room. The next one we have is Secret Room by Infinite Destruction. And it looks quite long, so I'm going to give this one a read and save poor Lulu from her poor sore throat. So, Secret Room.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Right. Must stop having this fun. This is terrible. It's supposed to be serious. Okay. Secret Room. Infinite Destruction. Let's go. Behind me, boys. No, sorry. Deep
Roar.
Beyond the... Oh dear, that's spoiled then. Okay, no, I can do this. Honestly, you don't need to bring somebody else in. I can. Right, deep beyond the confines of the four chambers, there lies a place cold and dim, dampened by an immeasurable blanket of tears, imprisoning, but the padded walls are comforting. Insanity is welcome there openly, though she speaks ill of harmony. That's why joy comes to visit seldomly, and anger than to see her leave. Destruction pounds against the walls, rarely getting loose before reined back in. Well, happiness flew the nest long ago. No one knows if she'll ever come home. Agony and ecstasy fight consistently, but everyone knows they're really in love. Speaking of love, she's been in a wreck recently. The crash was so severe, we fear she may not make it. Self-esteem has found a hiding place. This game of hide-and-seek has been too long. Confidence is in a midlife crisis. We've spoken, but I don't know if he'll get it together. Amongst all these, I am at the edge of a cliff, holding on to perseverance, hoping he doesn't fall. Because both our palms are sweating, and stress is beating us with a hammer. I'm not sure if I'll make it out of here alive. I'm still waiting for hope to arrive. She must have taken the wrong turn. It's probably disaster at his shenanigans again. This place is a terrible mess. I'm sorry. I've tried cleaning up, I swear. Even the path, and it's obscured by debris. But welcome to the secret room inside of me. End poem.
You did a really good job of reading Infinite Destruction's poem. You know, sometimes, you know, I find that there are secret rooms that all of us have, and according to what's going on in our lives, what is happening in our lives, you know, if we have some type of mental illness, you know, it's very hard to express yourself in words. You know, I can be blunt or not blunt. And then there are times where I just hold back. But I find that in poetry, that poetry gives me, you know, an emotional release with whatever issues that I'm going through, you know. And I'm sure I hope that he's not feeling this way, you know, where you just feel like you're stuck between four walls and, you know, you can't get out and the person that you love is no longer in there with you. And, you know, it says that, speaking of love, she's been in a wreck recently. The crash was so severe, we fear she may not make it. You know, I really hope that didn't happen to somebody that he loves. That, because that, you know, it's that instant impact of something happening, unforeseen circumstances, can be so deeply painful, especially if we're in a bad place, and especially if we weren't able to fix whatever it was to mend those bridges to, you know, to allow that person back into their life, or are they even willing to go back into their life? But I hope, you know, he says, this place is a terrible mess. I'm sorry. I've tried cleaning up. I swear, Even the path is obscured by debris, but welcome to the secret room inside of me. You know, revealing how he really feels inside. And, you know, I'm not, I've tried cleaning up. I don't know if that's, you know, that could be so many things, drugs, committing crimes, not believing in ourselves and beating ourselves up. I don't know. This can be so many different emotional, painful things that he's going through. And I hope that, you know, that whatever it is, you know, I wish him the best. What did you think about this poem, Gray, the Infinite poem?
I thought Weaver did a great job of reading it. But, you know, I think we all have these types of rooms in our within ourselves, you know, where it's just a mess. And, you know, we do our best to clean it up, but even the path is obscured by debris. But welcome to the secret room inside of me. I think that we all have these types of rooms within ourselves. And I thought it was a wonderful expression of sharing that. So thank you for sharing Infinite Destruction.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Francisco? What do you think of Infinite poem?
Yeah, this is the poem is very visceral. You know, there's so much emotions, raw emotions throughout this poem. You know, I don't know if this poem is based on something that's realistic or something that's personal, but I do feel that the poem was very personal. And overall, I thought the sentiment expressed in this poem here, the serious nature of it, what you said before about a secret room, you know, it's a combination of thoughts and emotions together, and sometimes lead to this type of thing, which is poetry. So he did a fantastic job in that.
Agreed. And Katie, you did a fabulous read. What did you think?
Yeah, I would like to apologize for having stumbled on a couple of words. That's a terrible. So I'm sorry about that. But it was a wonderful poem to read. I really enjoyed it. I love the fact that each of those particular feelings or types of feelings came out and was talked about one by one, personifying them, making them appear to be people, which I love. I think that's so clever. I have great difficulty because an awful lot of people, majority of people, think what I write is factual. They think I'm writing about myself, and I get an awful lot of commiserations and an awful lot of sorry. But so I didn't know whether to tell people, no, this isn't me, this is just fiction, or just to leave it. And I decided just to leave it because I do love the effect it has. People think it's you, and so they, you know, they'll get into it more. But I don't know. I don't know what's best for this. I hope this isn't true. But somebody writes as well as this does, this person does, about what's happening, it kind of makes you think they are actually talking about, you know, what is real. So I'm so sorry, and I hope things get much, much better very soon.
Great. Thank you. And we're ready for our next open poetry poem.
Okay, dokie doke. Next one we have is, The Eroticism of Crimson Blood by Laurent. I can't say your last name, I'm so sorry.
Well, I'll tell you really quick. Laurent Montaner.
Okay, let's try this one more time. By Laurent Montaner.
There you go.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm excited as well then.
I won't be able to say it the next time because I've got this tiny little brain. Anyway, we can work on this. I'll do it 10 lines.
There you go.
And we have a caller. Gray dropped. Okay. He had a family emergency.
Okay.
We have a caller, 703. Who am I speaking with? And I'm sorry to keep you on hold so long.
Oh, no worries. It's Zach. How are y'all doing?
There he is. Hi, Zach.
Hey.
Hi, Zach.
Welcome
hey.
To the show.
Thank you.
Okay,
and
yeah,
we're
going
to. I need to play it. Hold on, I got to look.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
We will be with you momentarily. We've got a hidden audio somewhere.
Okay, here we go.
Cool.
Your sensual lips are drenched in the eroticism of crimson blood. The winds of the breath of my whisper stimulate your neck. Your blossoming brass bags for the passionate touch of my fingernails, undressing the sultry seams from the threads of your lace garments. I hypnotize you with the exotic spell of my mocha eyes, and sip slowly from the red wine of each wet nipple exposed, as you feel my silky ebony hair rubbing against the soft edges. You let out an orgasmic moan that shivers down your thighs. A Spanish lover with a naughty bite and vampiric hunger, I'm the sinful lust of your sexual fantasies of untamed seduction, and we bathe in the vapor of the deep scent of our sweat. Mr. Midnight Darling of the Park of Moors. We embrace in the moonbeams of our midnight moisture. My fangs press against the surface of your bare neck, drinking from the fountain of your wildest desires, as I make you the mistress of my immortal darkness. Eres la amante que desnudo. Tu cuerpo estremece con mis besos, y tu piel busca ser penetrado por la mordida de mi boca, absorbiendo las gotas de tus venas que llenan mi cáliz derramado. You are the lover that I enclose. Your body shakes for my kisses, and your skin seeks to be penetrated by the bite of my mouth, absorbing the drops from your veins that feel my chalice spilling. I am your vampiric lover.
Oh my goodness. No, I was listening to the classical music. That was so good. This is the first time I have not seen you do a lot of vampire poems, but I love this. Especially that last, your closing stanza. You are the lover that I enclose. Your body shakes with my kisses, and your skin seeks to be penetrated by the bite of my mouth, absorbing the drops from your veins that fill my chalice spilling. I am your vampiric lover. Wow, that is so good! Muy caliente! Oh my goodness! Oh, that gave me chills. That was so good. I really enjoyed this poem, Francisco. And Miss Katie, I didn't hear you breathe one bit.
But I'm breathing now. Very, very good, Frank. That is so. And I like Lulu. I love the vampiric stories. That was excellent. I had shivers up and down my spine already. And my spine can't take that. I thought it was wonderful. But no, this is my favorite. Drinking from the fountain of your wildest desires, as I make you the mistress of my immortal darkness. So cool. Yeah, I loved it. Thank you so much for sharing it. Do it again sometimes. Brilliant.
Well, you know, I did think I will say that I'll think about it next time there. And I'll take the I was going to say, I'll make you steer over to the pond next time there.
I don't know if that's a better promise.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much.
There you go.
Zach, I was, since you're such a fabulous dark writer, I would love to know your thoughts on Frank's poem, Zach.
I thought it was fabulous. I thought the breath kind of drew me in a little bit, like the goosebumps up and down the neck. That's kind of what, drew me in. I initially, like, the rising of the goosebumps, I could see that, and just plain bloody crimson kisses all up and down the neck, using fingernails and undressing garments with a hypnotic glare against the backdrop of the nocturnal backdrop of, like, a curtain of wolves. I thought that was a really cool nocturnal image. And finally, we had the long-awaited bite at the end. It's almost like, I guess, for vampires, almost like the orgasm. So the reader is drained underneath that and by the bite of the fangs. So I really enjoyed that.
Good. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that. And that the music in the background was from Interview with a Vampire. It's a familiar scene.
It was excellent. Thank you, Francisco. What a delicious bite into Monday poetry. And we're ready
just cover your neck there.
No, women don't do that. That was
just
good.
Just say it, just as Phil would say, just say it.
Just saying.
We're ready for our next poem.
And our next one is Rooted for Ages by Diane D. Let's have a look at this one. It's quite long, so I'll give it a read, okay? Oh, look,
okay.
Why not make Zach work for his pen?
There you go.
There you go.
There you go, mate. Okay, this is Rooted for Ages. I don't know if you can see it. Rooted for Ages by Diane D. It should be there for you.
All right. Rooted for Ages by Diane D. Untrodden footprints. Lacking all dross, for only the grove ghosts can slog on the moss. Goosebumps turn moonlight, a swampy green glow. Rootless are peat bogs, where tangles lay low. Rooted in muskeg, squattles they stand, silent among them on untraveled land. Swaddled in salt marsh, tree trunks of mire, stationed for ages, without stem or spire. Looking like leaf mold, rashly untamed, Wilds of quagmire is morass renamed, shielding thick oak stumps, paying their dues to a swell oasis of spine-tingling hues. This marvel of nature, like a meal pond, a wilderness catching, not footed upon, a spinach of wastelands, strewing in stages, stood tamarack centuries, rooted for ages, and palm.
Oh, you did a fabulous read of Diane's poem. Katie, I would love to know what you thought of Diane's poem.
Well, that was a brilliant read, Zach. Thank you for that. This has so much in it. I get this this feeling that this is a hidden or secret place because obviously it's not traveled that much. I liked it a lot. I love the shielding thick oak stumps paying their dues to a swale oasis of spin tingling, tingling, tingling hues. Now, can any of you very interesting and erudite people tell me what a swale is? What the heck's a swale? No?
A swale? It's a swamp. It's like a swamp.
Okay. Ah, with you. Okay. Right. Well, that would probably be exactly what it is. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Anyway, I just wanted to...
A swale oasis? Yeah, I'm going to have to...
Yeah, moss. Like a moss. It's a moss. It's like a moss. A swamp of moss. In the UK, it would be a moss. In the US, it's a swamp.
It says it's a low or hollow place, especially in a marsh depression between ridges. Oh, like a pond almost? Big
Yes, somewhat. I've seen them before in the UK. I've seen them this swales. Uh-huh. I've seen swales.
Oh, it says, what is the purpose of a swell? Swells are one of the most commonly used stormwater practices for many years that have been used alongside rural highways and residential suites. Oh, it's like a ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of to like, some extent.
Some day runoff. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, and it also is like a puddle is too small. It's bigger than a puddle, but so I did not know that. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Now it makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
sorry. Going back to you, Katie.
No problem, my dear.
Do you want to finish your comment?
I just want to say I thought it was wonderful, and thank you so much for giving me a word that I had to look up. I do enjoy learning. So thank you very much. It's a wonderful piece of poetry, mm-hmm. Diane D.
Agreed. And I would like to know what you thought about this poem, Francisco.
Yes, the imagery here is very striking. You know, this is just incredible that this is a land that's been untraveled much. There is a lore to this poem here. You know, the growth, gates, you know, log and the moss. This is a place that you would find in many places, even in not just in Europe, but in the US as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have this type of rule where you go into places there. I've been to Louisiana, and you look at these swamps and these marshes. They can inspire in one way or the other, but the imagery is very striking, Dr. Bowman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had fantastic imagery here, like I really like that second stanza. Goose bumps turn moonlight, a swampy green glow. Rootless are the peat bogs where tangles lay low. Oh, the rhyme in that is just fabulous. Rooted in mud keg, squatties they stand, silence around them on untraveled land. You know, it, when you go into some area of nature where it looks like no human has trotted through that, and, you know, just your imagination, just the things that you think and the words that, you know, that's kind of, it's beautiful, but at the same time, it's kind of scary because, you know, I think of snakes and, you know, getting caught in some type of mud that just sucks you, you know, you can't get out of, and, you know, but then at the same time, I can see, all kinds of birds and squirrels running around, and that's what I love about poetry. When somebody, I read their poetry, and then it just makes my mind go wild with images, and I just thought this was fabulous, and you did such a good job of reading it, Zach, and I'm so happy you called in. I'd like to know your thoughts.
I was taken away by the primeval imagery of the swamp. It reminded me of the dead marshes from the Lord of the Rings, also the Neverending Story, creatures in the Black Lagoon or Swamp Thing, all that. It just reminded me of like a verdant greens that were very descriptive and just kind of living in the mire of this swamp that could seemingly drown the dinosaurs if they're in there. That was very well written.
Agreed. Thank you. And those were excellent. That was an excellent comment, Zach. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Righty ho. We have, for your delectation, Beat Up, Bruised and Battered, song lyrics by Boodoo. And so they will have a SoundCloud for that.
Yes, and he wrote this song. So let me go look for it. There
Wonderful.
He is. Here we go.
Through it all, I took the fall. I
I want to thank Buddha for that. You know, I connect a lot to his lyrics because, you know, sometimes, you know, we're going through this type of stuff. And, you know, sometimes you just feel so beat up that, you know, you just feel like, oh, you know, I don't know if I can handle this. But, you know, you always, he's got this sage quality about his lyrics. And, you know, it just reminds me of all the good advice that I have been given by people who love me and I love them, is that, you know, there comes a point when you realize you have to crawl and then you have to stand up to get through some type of difficulties that you were going through, you know, to, like she says, to survive, you know, and sometimes you feel like it's just me, myself, and I, and, you know, and that's, you know, all you got at that moment. But, you know, like he says in his second lyric, you know, where he says, someone told me a long time ago, you can't make water out of wine. And that is so true. You cannot make anybody change, no matter if you yell, cry, scream, you know, sometimes you beg, you know, and it, no matter, you know, and you just love them and it doesn't work. And, you know, and it is to me, you know, to take those small, he says, so you take those small steps, those baby steps, and they're not always easy, and to make a better life for yourself. And, you know, and then I like the hope that he gives up where he says, please don't give up. Just believe in you. You know, it says, when troubles come and tax the soul, just hold the line and you'll be fine. Just move on, move on. One day at a time. What beautiful lyrics. I really, really enjoyed this. I'd like to know what you thought about it, Miss Katie.
Oh, yes, I enjoyed it. I thought the guitar was wonderful. And the voice just fitted that wailing guitar so beautifully. I thought it was ace. Now, for me, me, myself, and I just makes me immediately think about Ed. Ego and superego, you've got all those people in your corner, you use them, and obviously this is something that can be done. If you believe in yourself, you can. Basically, it's just a matter of don't let those hang-ups bring you down, just try and put them to the back of your mind and be yourself. So I thought it was a beautiful song, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, beautiful.
And you know, I agree with that, you know, you have to, you know, believe in yourself, even though things can be really bad, because it's just, but sometimes you just need to hear that. That's whole, and, you know, and then the way his wailing guitar just, you know, the way that he plays, it's like his instrument is singing his emotions. They're just fabulous. And what did you think, Francisco?
Well, you know, those piece, I think it's a finished product here, if I'm not mistaken, of the last time we heard. You know, his two lyrics are, as well as his well guitars, he's very emotive, very strong, very passionate. He is a very passionate composer. And I think what Budo brings us with his material is an insight to what we think, you know, as well. You know, humanity is always the best thing that you can show. And he does a fantastic job through his lyrics to emote that humanity of his.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Wonderful comment. Thank you. And yes. Zach, I would love to know your thoughts, too.
One is kind of a lonely piece dedicated to the loners of the world. Speaks to the resilience of the spirit and the speaker. And this is the second time hearing this tune on air, and it, I guess the second time I heard it is more layered this time around with the vocal arrangement, with accompanying backup vocals and organ, and the repeating of the refrains at the end sort of elongated it and made it much more of like a almost like a gospel tinged sound. So I really really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, too. Thank you so much. What an excellent comment. And we're back to you, Miss Katie. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe we only have 15 minutes left.
I know, it's incredible. I looked up and I thought, good grief, we've been having too much fun. It's gone so quickly. Okay.
Well, you never know.
True. You very quickly go downhill. You know it can.
Not with this crew. Mm-mm.
That's for sure, yes. We keep the merriment going, babe. Anyway, talking of merriment going, our next one, and this is a self-indulgence, I do apologize, but this is Old as Dirt by Lawrence 67. Now, normally I would ask Frank to read this, but as I say, self-indulgent. I'm going to read it. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
No,
so this
that's
is
the, old. No problem.
Thank you. This is. I'm I want to see how many. That's a delightful picture. I like it. I've got this picture of a shirt with ears sticking out where the arms would be on. It's terrible. That tells you something about me, doesn't it? Twisted. Ah, dear. Okay, so we have Lon67. I wonder how often he's going to trip me up on this one. This will be fun. Old as dirt. Are you ready for this, folks? Hold on tight.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Old as dirt. How old am I? I'm as old as dirt. When I was a little Lawrence, my best friend was Tyrannosaurus. I'm as old as dirt. The Grand Canyon was just a little stream and not so grand. The geezer, old faithful, was just a wet dream, if you know what I mean. I'm as old as dirt. My mom's name was the first Lucy, and we ate a lot of sushi because fire hadn't been discovered yet. But we did have 8-tracks and cassettes. I'm as old as dirt. I was an only child and asked Mom why. She replied, Homo sapiens haven't evolved, she sighed. I'm as old as dirt. Once Mom sent me to the store 2 years in advance in the hopes that by that time I got there, or by the time I got there, they'd be invented by a chance. Oh, no, by chance. I'm as old as dirt. Told you he'd trip me. My mom was a very optimistic woman. I, as old as dirt. End poem.
You know, sometimes I wonder, he has got a great sense of humor. You know, you can't help but laugh at the imagery that he projects of himself being as old as dirt. And, you know, it was just hilarious. And Katie did such a good job of reading this. Oh my God, this is the Grand Canyon was just a little stream and not so grand. The geyser Old Faithful was just a wet dream. If you know what I mean, I'm old as dirt. And then he talks about, you know, they had to eat sushi because stoves and microwaves weren't invented yet. So they were having to eat everything raw. But of course he had an 8-track, you know, he had to jam to catching that fish. This was hilarious. I enjoyed it. I enjoy his sense of humor. It makes me, I just wonder what he's thinking all day. He must be hilarious and have you laughing all the time. What did you think, Francisco?
Well, I don't know if I'm as old as dirt yet, but I sure know what a dream could be. this poem, really, the humor, you know, being serious here. The humor that this man has, it's very incomparable. It's just uniquely his. He seems to have a knack for this type of writing. So every time we get to hear from his poetry or read his poetry, we're always just left wondering for more and asking for more as well. Fantastic writing.
Agreed. And I mean, thank you. I'd like to know what you thought about the poem, Zach.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I think actually like the second stanza best. I mean, just because it reminded like little Lawrence, best friend was a Tyrannosaurus. It just reminded me of Land Before Time. And then like you get all this prehistoric imagery. You got like the Grand Canyon, a little stream, Old Faithful, Wet Dream, and then you got the 8-track and cassette. So you're just wondering. How old is this person, or the speaker? How exact, you know, how exactly, like, which era, you might think? And it's just a funny sort of title, too. A funny, like, cliche to turn on its head, old as dirt, kind of, like, subverts that old saying and kind of turns it on its head in the form of a poem. So I thought that was very well done.
Agreed. Fantastic comment. Miss Katie, I would love to know what you thought. You did a fabulous read.
I think I got off easy, actually. This was this was all right. This was very good. I mean, how on earth, when I was a little Lawrence, my best friend was a Tyrannosaurus. Well done. That's got to be a class. Well done, boy. Well, I think it's and, oh, and how about another one of my favorite? You quoted this one, Lou. You, the geezer Old Faithful was just a wet dream.
That took a lot of hoops, though, to say, a lot of guts to say.
Yeah. And the thing about that basically is
we all have them now.
Well, not in Scotland. It's too cold. Anyway. What I loved was the fact that he just goes for it. I mean, you know, he just does it. I love it. He is one of my favorites. An awful lot of people on here are fabulous, and he is. Remember the one he did about us, Louie? Remember the poem he wrote about us?
Yes.
Fabulous. So good.
The way he just makes fun. Yeah. He just makes fun of everybody. You know. Well, he makes fun of things that we usually don't go into or think about or talk a lot about, and he does, and I, you know, that's why I love poetry so much, is because you just never, it's like a box, you know, box of chocolates. You never know what the filling's going to be like when you get it. You know, it just makes it so enjoyable. Yeah, you did a fabulous job in reading.
Well, I didn't. Yeah,
and
I didn't fall over.
No. And we have one more open poetry. We got all the open poetry done.
Well, excellent. Where am I? I've gone.
The last one by Jack Tomkovic.
Right. That was the one. That was the one I was aiming for. Here we go. Just talk amongst yourselves. This won't take long. I always mess up. I nearly said the C word. I always mess up at this time of the evening. No, I meant C-O-C-K, not the other C word.
Oh.
I don't know which one to think of.
I'm not,
sure
yeah,
you
I'm not that
gun,
bad.
There.
Yeah. I made a bit of a slip, is what I meant to say. Hey. This is Lioness by Jack Tomkovic. And Frank, would you give this one a read for us, please, my dear?
Well, I'll give it a start here, considering the late hour here. Lioness here by Jack Tomkovic here. You grabbed me by the neck like a lioness, running down a zebra or kudu on the veld. I treasure how you stalk prey in the tall savanna grass, moving by inches, not even disturbing the birds. You grabbed me like a lioness, and that changed my life like winter from summer, rain from sunshine, pepper from salt, root beer from malt ale, 27 from 72, me and you kid, end of poem.
Oh, you know, he writes such fascinating and beautiful poetry for his wife. He says that this is for my wife and I at age 72, realize how lucky I was, and you know, he says, you know, that, you know, how much he loves his wife. And, you know, you never know when you're going to fall in love. And he says, he was writing to his friend Tim, and he's, you know, that his, you know, that his, he was telling his wife was a blessing. And then he answers her back, the idea of a woman who knows what she wants and gets it is more what I was aiming for. Trophy husband, a reversal on trophy wife, although she is that too. Ha! Peace and thanks always and fierceness. Do not mess with a woman in love. Ha! He says again. and he says he's the trophy husband instead of her, and he says she's a trophy wife too. But what I liked was how he described her. You know, I treasure how you stalk prey in the tall savanna grass. And you read that so beautiful, Francisco. Moving by inches, not even disturbing the birds. You grabbed me like a lioness. And that changed my life like winter from summer. Wow, you know, and just, you know, how he talks about the relationship and lucky him. He said she grabbed him, you know, took him down, and he's been happy this whole time. Congratulations. What did you think, Miss Katie?
I think it is just marvelous that in this day and age we have a couple like this who... He obviously cares so much for his wife, and obviously she must care for him. as well, which is just so sweet and a lovely age to be. I look back on that age with fondness. So, well done. Many, many more years. And thank you for sharing that with us, Jack.
Agreed. I loved his wildlife light poem. And what did you think about the poem, Zach?
I thought it was a very interesting poem, very well done. I thought it was it spoke to a hunter seen from afar, the prey, a.k.a. The love of her life, personified by the lioness. I love how visceral the initial takedown was of the speaker by the neck, just like claiming him as her own. I thought that was really cool. Sort of blindsided by that love, almost like he doesn't know what hit her. Doesn't know what hit him almost. And I thought that was an interesting concept. Throughout the poem, it was just it just kind of takes you aback. You're just kind of like thrown backwards by this lioness and this. The passion that she has for the speaker and the relationship. So I thought it was very beautiful and well written.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. And I would love to know what you thought about the poem that you read, Francisco Beautifully. What did you think of Jack Kalkovitz's poem?
Well, I wouldn't mind being grabbed by the neck like a lion is from time to time here. that was my first thought. But overall, the piece was just endearing. You know, he brings in this embodiment of what his wife is. You know, he always brings his wife into his pieces, and he did a fantastic job of delivering, you know, the relationship to us. And just thought it was just tongue-in-cheek a bit, but I thought it was fantastic. And like I said, I do definitely need a lioness to grab me by the neck one of these days. From time to time.
Bring it down.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
maybe not this
there
late.
You go.
A little bit earlier.
Thank you, everyone. We only got like 3 minutes left. Do we have a short one? I don't even know if we got a short one.
I have no idea. I'm having a look.
Let me see how long our list this is. No. Okay.
No.
Gary, we did. Becky, let me check. No, okay, Becky, okay, I'll put it in.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, it's a short one. And since Zach hasn't got to read much, since I would like for him to read this.
Sure. Grandpa's Chair by Becky Upchurch. But it's Uncle Herman sitting there in Grandpa's chair, looking at his sister with her new husband, some of Dad's siblings. That's Dad in the painting. He was 11 when he posed for Grandpa, his dad, who was commissioned to paint the boy David for a Jewish calendar in 1933. My brother, David, has the painting now. These moments live only in old photos, and family tales rich like blood can only be, cherished like family memories, aired only on occasion. End poem.
Oh, you did a great job in reading Becky's poem. I really love the traditions here, you know, and those moments, you know, that you carry with you, no matter even 11 years old. So we only have like 60 seconds left. Miss Katie, what did you think of Becky's poem?
Very, very well done. And I enjoy the thought of Uncle Herman sitting in Grandpa's chair. That's a shock. So well done.
Excellent comment. Francisco, your thoughts?
Yeah, fabulous poem throughout the infamin.
Mhm. I really enjoyed this. And then what did you think of the poem you read, Zach? You did a good job of reading Becky Upchurch's poem. What did you think?
I thought it was fantastic. It was like an heirloom passed from the speaker to David, and the moments that live on and, you know, cherish for sure.
Thank you, everybody. I want to thank everybody that called in tonight, Miss Katie, Gray Eyes, Miriam, Francisco, Laurent, Zach, and Robbie for showing up, and also for Eric. We had a great show tonight, excellent poetry. I hope that Gray's daughter is okay. I love you guys. I love each of you. Besitos. Lots of love.
Besitos.
Te quiero mucho.
Thanks,
y te amo. I love you guys. Good night, everybody. Good night, Miss Katie. Sorry about bumping your job that last second, but
We needed to get one more
That's
in.
That's all right. She's out of the pond already.
She's my girl. I love her. Okay, good night, everybody.
Who's going to make us?
good night.
Good night, take darling.
Care.
Yeah, you all
love
take
you.
Care. Love you. Big hugs.
Take care, then.
Big hugs
care,
from Scotland.